from Economics Matters by Lawrence Kotlikoff. Conventional planning doesn't get the first thing right about investing assessing risk. Economics Matters blog/podcast/financial-riddler/maxi-fi-puzzler. If so, you've likely fallen prey to Wall Street's carefully honed bait and switch. Conventional advice, whether coming from a financial advisor running conventional financial planning software or using AI that mimics conventional planning CP software, starts with a seemingly straightforward question. Here's that question in bold in a hypothetical queue and a between a conventional planner, a CP software program, or an AI doing CP. Note the beta generally far too high spending target and the switch calling the target your target. How much do you want to spend in retirement? $1 billion a year. Ha ha. Yes, we all need help setting our retirement spending target. I'll say, there are so many factors to consider, and I can only spend what I can afford. No worries, let's use the tried and true industry's rule 80% of pre-retirement income. Well, that would be a dream come true. It's what we've been praying we could spend. Gee, given your saving and investments, your chance of making your target is only 35%. But no worries, we can invest your money and raise the probability to 85% after our 1% fee. Wow, great. Sign us up. As everyone knows, stocks generate a much higher real return, on average, than safer assets, like bonds. They do so for a reason. Stocks comes with huge risk. On average, in a given year, the real yield on the S&P is 20 percentage points higher or lower than its 7% mean. No surprise then that CP's method of meeting your retirement spending target is to invest a much higher share of your assets in stock. Upping your investment risk raises your probability, your average chance, of being able to spend throughout retirement at your spending target. But it also raises your probability, your average chance of early financial destitution, losing all your assets soon after retirement. Stated differently, it raises the average length of financial destitutions when they occur. Wall Street shouts about your high probability of winning at retirement poker, but it fails to even whisper about your probability of losing your shirt. Here, as elsewhere, there is no free lunch. More risk means more risk. You just need to see where Wall Street is hiding it. Conventional planning's hidden tricks to make risky investing look good figures lie and liars figure. This was the pet expression of John Mitchell, Richard Nixon's attorney general. Mitchell knew a good deal about lying. He served 19 months in prison for committing perjury during the Watergate hearings. Trick 1. The first trick is that just mentioned focusing on the chance of success and keeping mum about the chance of failure. CP, to my knowledge, provides zero stats about 1. How riskier investing raises your chance of completely running out of money by, say, age 70, to the chance of having assets that are positive, yet dramatically lower than those at retirement well before your assumed expiration date. 3. The chance you a low run out of assets after your assumed expiration date, but before your maximum age of life. 4. How far your living standard could drop if you run out of assets. 5. Whether you'll be forced to sell your home or downgrade your apartment 15% of the time. And 6. The list goes on. This is malfeasance, plain and simple, but fully approved by FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. No economist in his right mind would say that going broke 15% of the time is safe or constitutes a sensible financial plan. Trick 2. If you're like most people, you are investing cautiously because you aren't a great saver and haven't accumulated enough money to lose. Given this, your average simulated chance of spending year after year in retirement, 80% of what is likely your peak annual income, will generally be quite low, for example, 35%. Without nerding out on sequence of return risk, the higher your spending target, the better risky investing will look compared to safe investing on CP's success metric. But a higher spending target also means a higher, unreported likelihood of early loss of all or most of your assets. Trick 3. Wall Street makes riskier investing look better than it is by cherry-picking the equity return series used in the Monte Carlo simulations, determining the recommended investment strategy's success probability. As discussed here, this cherry-picking of return series was recently flagged by Wade Fow, an outstanding economist and leading financial guru. Trick 4. Wall Street doesn't disclose what is surely a higher probability of CP success if you invest the same share of your assets in stocks as it advises, but do so on your own at a 0.3% rather than a 1% fee in, say, a fully diversified equity mutual fund. Trick 5. Ignore the fact that no one in their right mind would keep spending at their target as their assets start going to hell. Instead, assume, as CP does, that you'll spend at your targeted level, come hell or high water. This assumption also amps up the average chance of success while raising the undisclosed risk of early asset exhaustion. If the above five tricks are making you queasy about your CP-based investment decisions, grab an emesis bag before reading on. The biggest problem with CP-based investment advice is that it ignores risk. This is why not a single top economics or finance department at any university anywhere in the world teaches CP's method of determining optimal investment allocations. CP evaluates investment allocations based on a probability, the probability of spending at your target through your expiration date. But a probability, as I've hinted above, is an average, and risk is about the dispersion of outcomes, not about average outcomes. Let me clarify via a parable. Suppose I meet you on the street and propose we have a stranger flip a quarter. If it comes up heads, you pay me $10,000. Tails, I pay you $10,000. Would you take the bet? No. Come on average, you'll break even, plus your success probability is 50%. Let's flip. No. Okay, let's make it $1,000. No. $100. No. $10. Get lost. You're wasting my time. The reason neither you, nor I, nor anyone for whom money matters won't bet based on the average is simple. The downside, not the average, is what we most care about. Losing $10,000 would reduce our utility, our happiness, far more than winning $10,000 would raise it. Economists call this risk aversion. Risk aversion was first modeled mathematically by Gabriel Kramer in 1728 and Daniel Bernoulli in 1738. Both mathematicians helped formalize the concept of utility happiness, specifically the relationship between happiness and money consumption. Utility, they postulated, goes up with consumption, but at a decreasing rate. The smaller and smaller additions to happiness from consuming more and more at a point in time is called diminishing marginal utility. This property is not a matter of math, it's a matter of physiology, specifically the fact that we get satiated. Suppose you're a steak lover and have waited all month to have a juicy ribeye at a fancy restaurant called Here's the Beef. You're starving, but when you get to the restaurant, you learn, to your horror, that they just sold out of ribeye. Even worse, you learn they've run out of steak entirely. But, hey, they do have tender liver steaks. You are now extremely unhappy as just the smell of liver makes you reach for an emesis bag. Consider a parallel universe in which the restaurant has plenty of ribeye. You order, you eat, you smile, and then the waiter tells you the next one is on the house. You go for it. Then the waiter puts yet another big boy on your plate, a third 24-oz steak, but it's free. With every extra bite, you smile to your friends while turning a deeper shade of green. After spending an hour downing the third steak, the waiter plops a fourth massive artery clogger on your plate. You take one look, go full virid, and start crawling to the gents. That's risk avers.